the crew there
is right now is an important part of learning valuable lessons that can lead to fulfilling one's life purpose. If I can offer you insights, feel free to contact me at 636-278-2272. Again, 636-278-2272. Or visit my website, angelathomas.org. I'm considered a psychic, so I provide accurate and detailed psychic readings for individuals as well as groups. Remember, no matter what influences your life at the moment, live life to the fullest. Stay in gratitude, count your blessings, and prepare yourself for more opportunities around the corner. I'm Psychic Angela Thomas, and my website is angelathomas.org.
Everyone, I'm Second Medium Christopher George, and along with my co-host Victor the Voice Furman with Second Sight NYC. Victor, what do we have as a guest this week?
Chris, our guest this week is Chetan Parkin, author, seminar leader, and the world's most successful proponent of a system called Human Design. It draws from astrology, the chakra system, the I Ching, and Kabbalah to help us discover who we really are and what our true purpose is. He is the author of the book, Human Design, Discover the Person You Were Born to Be.
Victor, after they designed me, they broke the mold.
Whoa, did you hear?
Listen to the Church of Mavis radio show, hosted by Jeffrey Pritchett, 11 p.m. Eastern, Saturday nights. Follow your weird and journey into the high strange. Be sure to stop by
www.churchofmavisradio.com
for upcoming shows, paranormal news, and show archives. That's
www.churchofmavisradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we co-host a new show called News on the Flip Side. You can catch us every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Central, where we will be discussing current events and topics going on in the world today. We have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Show of Knowledge of Spirit, where we seek to find a hidden truth. I'm your host and co-host, New York celebrity psychic Jesse Bravo. And with me, as I always say, the universally recognized UK's top psychic radio presenter, Alan Cox, as my co-host. Say hi, Alan.
Hello, everybody. Lovely to be with you again. You know, I've got to get those carpenters in to widen my doorway, Jesse, and you bore me up every week. I definitely need a wider doorway. But yes, it's great to be with you all.
Well, Well, we're going to need a wide doorway today because usually I go through all our stuff, but we're on the clock today because, you know, we have a very special guest. It's a guy that I love dearly, and I mean that when I say dearly, because if it wasn't for this guy, okay, even though I was already on my path, by seeing him do what he was doing gave me so much courage. And every time I saw him, I said, you know what, when I grow up and I become a man, I'd like to be like Derek Acor. That's exactly what I would say. And it's a great honor, a great privilege to have Derek Acor as our guest.
Well, you know,
thank you
just,
so much, Derek.
You know, you've just done Jesse, right?
What?
You've referred to Derek as being old, and he's the same age as me. When you grow up, I don't know, Derek. What can you say?
Yes. You know, you're only as old as you feel, really, Alan, aren't you?
You're right. You're very much so. That's true.
But we are quite ancient, aren't we, Alan?
Well, it seems like Alan's having some difficulties on his side with his mic. Alan, can you hear us?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay, great. Derek, you know, I'd like to start off and say, you know, for people out there, I know that you're so well-known here in the United States. You have a major following, obviously, even in New Zealand, the Middle East. Obviously, you're one of the biggest guys over there in the UK. And you know what? You've been doing it for 30 years.
Yes, I have, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. Man. And how's that feel? I mean, how does that feel for a guy like you?
Well, you know, it still feels okay. It feels as fresh as it was. You know that old saying, as fresh as a daisy? I'm still enjoying going out on the road, treading the boards, going across England, you know, top to bottom, Ireland, Scotland, and naturally abroad. And it's spirit that does that to me. It's because there's no other feeling in my life that gives me that expression of love. And I've always believed in love. Love to control everything, not hatred.
I agree there. Yeah, totally. And it does get in your blood, doesn't it, Derek? Even if you thought about doing something else, the guys, they don't let you do that.
No, they won't, no. The thing is, you see, it was a few... Let me tell you, guys, a couple of years ago, a number of years ago, I said to Gwen, there was a have you got the time to listen to this? And I want your listeners to hear it. It was the only one time that I stopped in my tracks and I said, I really, you know, I don't really think I want to do this anymore, because there was a man that came along to see me, and in his personal reading, I could see he had three lovely children and a lovely wife, but within the reading, I was told that his wife had fell out of love. So long story short, this man was committed to his family, worked two jobs, you know, to make sure their standard of life was good and what have you, and he had no option but to break away. He couldn't handle it and what have you. You know what the man did? He took his own life and his three children's lives.
Oh, God.
That hurt me, broke me as a spiritual medium, and I said to Gwen, I don't want to do this work anymore. And I went and I did something for a couple of months, and believe me, I hated it. It was horrible. And Spirit was saying to me, come back. This is what you should be doing. And I quite quickly did.
It's funny to say that, Derek, because I a few times over the years I've thought about that. And when you get to the point of giving it up, they do thrust you back there. So I totally understand what you're saying there.
Absolutely. Spirit will, you know, the thing is, it's not so much them demanding or them, you know, saying to you, hey, you've got to do it. From what I understand now, after all these years and what have you, is that if it's on your spiritual agenda, meaning from birth to the time that you make your transference, make your journey over to the spirit world, if it's on your spiritual agenda that you will do this work, you'll do the work.
Yeah, you really don't have them. It's almost like it's on the path and you can't. It's like if you have a choice between left and right,
yeah,
and you say, you know what, I know I want to choose right. So I'm going to try to muck this up. I'm going to go left because I'm going to fool everybody.
Yeah.
And then you go left, but you were supposed to go left anyway.
Jesse, you're right. You're right, man. You're right. Okay.
I tell you what intrigues me, Derek, is that the transition from your football career to the, you know, the spiritual side.
Rather bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, what a lot of people didn't know until I wrote one of my first books was that that my grandma was a medium for a lot of years, a very good medium, very loved medium. She quoted all the things I would do, went from the age of 6 to 9, into my teenage years, into my older life. She told me, would you believe it, that, you know, I played for Liverpool Football Club, which she said when I was 9, and I joined that football club, you know, at the age of 15 and a half. At the time she quoted the gentleman, there was no television. It was all radio. So knowing you had the concept of a television screen, but she wrote it in diaries and she drew it, a television screen.
Huh. Incredible.
And she put, yes, she did, incredible. And she put G, M, something else, and it was Manchester TV. That was regional TV. And Derek would have shows on there. And this would be the start of his real, real work for spirit.
Mm. Derek, let's go back into your childhood now, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, for you, you were the first one to break the lines in your family to be the first male psychic, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you have a brother, Colin, and you have a sister, Barbara, right?
Yes.
Are they gifted, or were you the only one that got it?
I was the only one that was gifted with it. Colin, in actual fact, even to this day now, still, you know, phones me up periodically when there's problems. Mm. And he says, hi, young bro. Hi, young bro. Got this problem. Can you sort it out for me? You know, ask those people across there. And naturally, I do it. And then it's called Barbara, who never, ever fusses, but now and again when she phones up, if there's a slight problematic condition, Barbara will say, hi, kid, how are you? Well, you know, let me know. So, yeah. They use the facility of spirit through me.
I'm your sibling trump card. You better answer all questions or I'll come beat you up.
But mind you, that's what family do, isn't it?
So I'm glad that you what we like to do in this particular show is that you know, me and Alan are also guided by spirit, so one of the things that we don't do is that we don't script out the show.
Sure.
So we like to have spirit guide us, and you brought this up here, and Alan, I hope you agree with me. When you became spiritually enlightened, Derek, and Alan, this is for you too. And we all became spiritually enlightened. And then we started to work for spirit.
Yeah.
Did you just notice that all of a sudden you had a million new friends and family that you didn't know from anywhere? But it sort of was a very lonely life because you realized at some point that a lot of these people who are your friends, I mean, Derek, you have a massive fan club on your Facebook and everything else. I can assure you that, you know, you probably get requests every single day. Can you tell me this? Can you tell me that? Isn't it sort of a lonely life sometimes that people are always after you for information, not because they really want to know you as a genuine human being?
Absolutely, Jesse. I mean, look, you know, it was spoken to me many years ago by my grandma and other older mediums when I was a youngster and said, you know what, if we talk about two pathways as the normal, like as people call it, or a calling through gifts, your pathway becomes narrow. It's not wide and broad, and it narrows because that means that you. Excuse the phone in the background. Hold on.
Okay. I thought that might have been me, but I've turned on mine into silence.
It becomes more difficult naturally because as you gain more friends, also the people that don't understand, bless them, or they can't comprehend, bless them, they then become, what's the right word for this? You find apart from good friends, you find people who are wanting to find fault, wanting to pull you down. You want people to, you know, there's so many different negatives that come with this. So it is a narrow pathway. The more you do.
But also, Derek, don't you find that you also get the people who try to say that you're friends so they can get the work that you do for nothing?
Of course you do. You've got to discern, haven't you, Alan? You've got to discern. Jesse, you've got to discern, you know, the difference. And if you're worth your salt as an instrument for spirit, meaning that you are developed, finished sufficiently enough, you can see these things and you can deal with them. At the moment,
You know what? I want to get into something, and Derek, do me a favor, do not mention names, okay? Because when we give these we mention these people's names, we give them energy, right?
Yes.
And they're not deserving of our energy.
That's right.
I'd like to talk about something because I noticed this is happening a lot more on your side of the pond.
Yeah.
Do you notice now a lot of the younger mediums are starting to really act out in a very inappropriate way to make the name for themselves on your side of the pond? I mean, over here in America, as you know, it's like P.T. Barnum Bailey. It's like a circus show over here. But this is not something that we expect out of the U.K. because traditionally, and correct me if I'm wrong here, traditionally you started off in the church – and it took you at least 2 years before you dared stick your head out on the stage for a platform reading.
Absolutely. And yes, I agree, Jesse. What's happening now, and been happening for the last couple of years, and it will continue on, is you get these young people. If you look at all the paranormal programs that are being aired in England and across Europe and maybe in America, it's generated a... on, especially with this, you know, interaction of internet and what have you, how many emails I've received from all over the world from youngsters who say, hey, I've got this gift and I really want to nurture it. Can you give me any tips, this and the other? I want to go out and start doing theatre work. I want to go on television and this and the other. So there has been a great emergence of that over the last couple of years. And unfortunately, it's sad, Jesse, because these kiddies, these youngsters, haven't even, you know, touched a level in which they dare even try to work with spirit. So it's also a natural fact.
Yeah. I noticed this, and Alan, I know that you agree with me. You know, I think there's a big disconnect, and this is why we have this radio show, Alan. I hope you agree.
Yes.
Is that there's a difference of what you see on TV than the movement of spirituality.
Well, I also believe that, you know, doing the show that we're doing together, Jesse, our object is to perhaps enlighten people by
absolutely
having you know, really brilliant guests on like Derek who are at the top of their field. And actually to – there's no – ego, there's no bravado. It's just like, well, this is what I do, and you know, whereas there are these youngsters now who are looking for the fame, it's not actually about helping people, it's about their own progression. Would you agree with that, Derek?
I would, and it's happening in many, many, many sections of life, Jesse, Alan. You know, if you look at pro soccer over here now, pro football, and you look at the players and what have you, for the monies that they're receiving and what have you, these guys are not putting in the true level of momentum, no matter what talent they've got, and they're getting paid amazing, like film star money. So, you know, it's going on everywhere. But you see, because of the nature in which we do our work for spirit, by the tabloids in the UK, in America, and, you know, English-speaking countries, you know, the mediums are down for trying to earn a living. And I've always said this many years ago when I made the decision, and I said to my wife, well, you know, I can't do what we call a work-a-day job of work because this is what I want to do. And we either, you know, live by it or fail by it. my wife went along, and she has done for all these years, nearly 30 years. And you get the accusations of spirit mediums, hearing this and hearing that. Come on, they never talk about the film stars. They never talk about the footballers. They never talk about any other category, like MPs, that, you know, they earn so much money, like £60,000 a year. But they're in the know, and they're earning something like £400,000 on top of that, owning all kinds of homes and so on and so. So we're the only category, Jesse, we're the only category of workers. It goes back to biblical times, Jesse.
Exactly.
Where they say, you know, the gifts, they are free and they must be given free. Well, if I, Derek, of course, started out that way, I wouldn't be able to look after my wife and my son.
We'll be able to get readings from Derek Okoro on the corner at your home, from the homeless shelter in your cardboard box with a, you know, can of a German Shepherd, you know?
This is what I say to people. Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, honestly, gentlemen, there's so many things that you have to battle against. Mm. And it doesn't matter what, you know. The English tabloids can be really, really, really horribly nasty more than the Americans. Because it seems in our country, in England here, they'll let you build up, they'll let you get a reputation, because you only get the reputation because you're doing the right thing. But the moment you get to a top shelf, if that's the right word, then let's bring him down now. Let's tell lies about him. Let's say, you know, fornicating things, or he's done this, he's done that.
And it's true.
You sit back and you go, wow.
Yeah, wow. You thought they were friends for a while. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, that happens here in the United States, and we have a phrase in the United States, and it says, for the media world, if it bleeds, it leads, which means the worse the content, the more they want to get it in front of your face, because, you know, people, you know, somehow the media always doesn't want to harp in on all the good. You know, Derek, let me give you an example. You're a person, you know, let's just say this for us. Let's not even put you in here. We're in a spiritual field, and as a result, we get guided by spirit. Now, spirit is always right. It is our mental faculties that sometimes mars the message, right? It mutters it up.
Yes.
So we may not give the most accurate reading, not because it's spirit fault, it's that we just, in our mental library, did not translate it correctly, right?
Yes.
So because of our field and it's not 100%, we can be 99% right. But then that 1%, that one time, you make a mistake,
then
all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. Now you're a bad guy because you made a mistake.
Yes.
And that's not fair.
In what other field of work, gentlemen, what other field of work can you can get it maybe 98%, 99% right, get it one wrong? Can you imagine that happening in the scientific field? My God, it wouldn't even touch the surface because... You know, in science, you know, I've read up and I've heard people saying, I've even a couple of friends who are scientists, saying, if we get 45% right, we're on top.
Yeah.
See?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we're under the spotlight. But you know what? That's one of the greatest things about now, you know, the great things of now, the media being so wide open, is that, you know, we can go out there and start to pull the covers. Because here's, Alan, here's something I think the problem that we as psychic mediums have to deal with. There's a lot of charlatans in what we do. And that goes to the fact that every sector, whether you're a contractor, whether you're a banker on Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're a carpenter, a guy that does pastries, a car salesman. You're going to have charlatans, people who are unscrupulous in every single walk of life.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
But ours is spotlighted more than others, okay?
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, and I understand.
Well, you know, Jesse, can I just Sorry to stop you.
No, stop me. Go ahead.
The reason why, the way I've fastened my thoughts and, you know, thought about this over all these years, is because in all these other industries, in all these other trades, and all these, you know, career paths for people and what have you, is because it's tangible. A bricklayer comes along and lays a brick. If it's wrong, you can see it. You can touch it. You can see it's out of order. If a joiner comes along and does joinery, you can see it. Whether in our work, it's not seen and it's not heard. So, you know, people can't grasp it. You know, they can't.
Also, Derek, if you say something to somebody in a reading and it makes no sense to them, so they then think that you aren't any good or haven't got the connection. But then what you've said to them comes right 6 months down the line, 12 months, 2 years down the line.
Absolutely.
You know,
but so there are enough mediums when they're talking. Do you mind me saying this, Alan?
No.
Jesse?
No,
not
please.
Not enough mediums when they are doing readings, separate and take away and explain to the person who's having the reading that what I'm getting now at this moment is what we call ahead of time. It's not already happened. And this is where they fall down.
Yes.
If they could separate and say, now look, this section here is what's to come, or I'm being told about things for you, then those sorts of accusations would then stop.
I agree.
And I did that about 20 years ago. I realized that. And I separate things in my private readings. And I found it works wonderfully well then.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, a disclaimer.
It's a disclaimer. And, you know, when I do that, you know, I do a seance over here in New York once a week.
Yeah.
And I say that to these guys. I say, hey, listen, some of the stuff I may be saying may make no sense because it's either one or two things. It's either in the future or in the past that's going to happen, or two, I'm completely wrong. So you have to give yourself room for error because we're not perfect. And I think that's maybe one of the things that when people think about psychics, I think they confuse our ability of speaking and picking up information or speaking to spirit to God.
Yeah.
And I think that's the misnomer that people – that's the disconnect that people get there, that somehow God's talking through us, which, you know, I'm not Jesus, I'm not Buddha, I'm not, you know, I'm not any of these guys. So God's definitely not speaking to me directly.
No.
But spirit is. So yeah, I think that's what I think it's the disconnect is they think, well, a psychic's got to be, you know, 100% right. And once you put that disclaimer out there, Derek, as you said,
yeah,
it puts them to ease and say, wait a minute, there's a lot of room for error here, so we can all be human now, right?
I do that myself, yeah.
You have to.
But if you think about spirit, God, the archangels, angels, think about it like a corporate a company. And you've got the head, the chairman, God, and then
you come down in
sections, don't you?
Yes. I like the way you put that because in the deep, meaningful things that I understand about spirit and over the years, what's been explained to me, which I've, you know, sometimes been able to understand, other things I haven't, and then I've back-checked it again, I've always found that we have, as much as maybe we don't want it, a seemingly hierarchy of different levels within the dimensions of the world of spirits in the different levels that we have more understanding, more dynamic spirit energy of people who understand more than others. And if you can converse with those, then it makes the ship much lighter for you to walk along. And I discovered this only 5 years ago. And I converse in my meditations, which naturally I have a meditation room in my home. And I've been helped so greatly. It's helped the emergence of a more, if I may say it with a humble approach, gentlemen, a more accurate connection with the world of spirit.
Yes. You know, it always amazes me. The three of us are connected in our own different ways.
Absolutely. We're brothers.
We tap into the same source, yet Spirit guides us all in our different ways. We're not all on the same road. It's
road level, what have you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Derek, I know that you've done a lot of wonderful projects, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Most Haunted, and then you have your touring UK Eternal Spirits tour. I really love the Paranormal Egypt series. That was really awesome. I really liked that tremendously.
Thank you. We didn't do a follow-up on that, which really, really disappointed me, actually, because Dr. Awas, who was the head of antiquities in Egypt, he was so taken back at the end of that tour that he personally said, "You've got the keys to Egypt. You can come in any time and explore. You can do what you've done in this one particular show." And that went a big way with me. And even the channel that I was working for at the time, they were blown away by it, purely and simply because he reckoned that within my investigations, I didn't go over the top, and I certainly did not, which I wouldn't anyway, cause disruption to the Egyptian people in showing respect to their ancestors.
Absolutely. And I know it's kind of tough to even go back there because they have right now so much political instability. I don't know if you may even want to be there right now.
Well, I don't.
No.
No.
But, you know, I would love to see you. You know what? I would love to see you go down to South America. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what, Jesse? You know what? You've definitely got to be psychic. You know why? Because, listen to this, Jesse. My wife and I paid for ourselves. It wasn't television production. And we did a cruise down South America, yeah?
Okay.
And we went to all the different countries and what have you, sacred places. And I came back and I said to a television network, if you were to commission this, this would go beyond anything that I've ever done, even, you know, in Egypt. And they said yes at first, and then the management left, and so the program didn't come up. But that's my next, Jesse, that's my next project. And you know something, Jesse, I'd like you to be with me.
I'll come with you. You kidding me? I'll walk there. I'll meet you 3 months from now. I'll get there by walking.
Well, we are in talks with the television network right now, or extremely interested in it.
Oh, God, I'd be there in a heartbeat. Matter of fact, you know, Derek, I think it's so great that, and I'll say this out to the public, 4.5, 5 years ago, I started to unlock.
Yes.
And I don't know whether I fell in love with Derek or what was the affiliate. I don't know why we connected. I don't know why. But when I saw him on TV, I said, you know what? Damn it, I'm talking to Derek. And I went out and I found Derek's agent, and I spoke to him out of ETM. It was Roy. It was Roy Hastings, I believe, if I'm correct. One of those two.
Yes.
And I said, you know what? Let's do a and this, by the way, Derek, this was before reality TV was really hot. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And I said, would Derek do a reality TV show with me, and we'll call it The Apprentice and something.
Yes.
And But you were busy, and I couldn't get the networks all lined up, and it just never happened. And I was so angry. I was like, damn it! But you know what? Many years later, here we are, because that's the way that spirit works.
Well, I'm sure I can just tell, looking at your image, and let's see, Alan is a very nice man, a lovely man, both of you. I can see
Thank
that
you,
you and I, Jesse, will work together ahead of time, okay?
I love the psychic prediction already. Now, I know, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this, but we had another guest on the show.
Yes.
And he's saying that you guys are working on something in the works. I'll give you his initials to see if you can talk about it, because I know sometimes, just like with me and Alan, sometimes there are things that are still in the works, and as a result, in contracts, you're not allowed to talk about it. It's like
That's
a gag
correct.
Order. You want to scream from the roofs, but you can't.
Physically, These are confidentiality clauses.
Yeah, the confidentiality agreement. You want to scream from the roof, but you can't because it's just not ready.
That's
so
fine.
I'm going to mention his initials.
Yeah.
D.S. Can you talk about that?
D.S.
His first initial is D. The last, his first name starts with a D. His last name starts with an S.
You know what? Just goes through the roof of my head. No, I don't.
Okay. The guy used to be a pop star. Let's put it that way. I don't know.
If oh, yes.
Yes.
Well, what you're saying now, Jesse,
yes,
is what you wanted to do with me.
Oh, I know that.
Okay. Now,
but can you talk about that?
I can, yes.
Okay. I just, you know, because sometimes other people talk, but they don't always have a idea of a contract, sometimes with confidentiality.
Yes.
And you'll speak to two different people with the same contract, and they'll tell you two different answers, and one's right and one's wrong.
Okay. Here's a man who is a lovely man, just like yourself, a lovely man like Alan, and
he's become a good friend of mine, to be honest, Eric.
Really, he's a lovely man, and he came up with this concept, as we call it in television, treatment, and he came along to my home. And he, you know, went over it with me, and we did a little bit on camera. And I thought, you know what? This is absolutely fantastic. This is great. So, of course, there's the man who was a singer, okay? I can say that.
Yep.
And, you know, quite a well-known singer and done stuff and what. Suddenly he wakes up in the one morning, and he gets this inclination first off. Then he starts to receive things that he's never seen or heard before, and wondered, am I going bonkers or something? And he's not. And, you know, this is his psychic side, you know, it's like lying dormant, latent. All of a sudden, he wakes up 24 hours later, and he starts to become a different person. And yes, the networks, there's fighting at this moment between two major networks to get this program. And, you know what?
Yeah.
I can tell you it's going to be fun. But Jesse, it's going to be, you know, similar to what you have just said with me.
I know. Listen, I was a little ahead of my time. I wasn't all that unlocked yet, but the little pieces they gave me was good.
Yeah.
Sometimes
anyway,
you got to milk it for all you can go.
We're in great position at the moment because I believe I'm allowed to say this, I think, Universal and... another very big corporation just signed it up.
Okay, so it's in it, it's ready to go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really awesome. That is awesome because, you know, and I'm going to say this out to the population out there, to the people who are listening, because we have a very, very big following in the UK, Australia, obviously here in the United States, Canada. We're the actually only radio station in China. We actually had 50,000 people out of China, which I don't know where they came from, but they came from somewhere. But we have such a big following. But this is just the business end, and that's just one part of the show that we like to talk about. The business end is that, you know, when you're going to do a show on major network, it has to go through what they call a spot, and people look at it if they like it, and then you got to go for a pilot. And then you have to do that. And then they go to the next phase. And if they like it, they make an order. So it sounds like they're going to make an order. They're done. And then you're going to have a certain amount of shows that are going to go out for syndication probably next year in 2014, if I'm correct.
That's right. They sign the order. Everything's exciting. And, yes, they talk. They're not only talking about the first series. They're talking about the second series before it even starts.
Look at that. So, great. So it's going to be something big, and I know that this guy, I like this guy, I like his energy and his enthusiasm.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy, so it's going to sell because he's also an entertainer, and that doesn't hurt.
Yes.
You know, that's just part, it's just part of it, you know, and it's always good. Like I always say, it's very hard to get the good face, the good personality, and then somebody who's actually has worth their weight and ability in the same body. It's not always, it doesn't always happen. For TV.
Absolutely.
So, it's kind of hard.
The great thing about him as well, when he came down with his group of people, and he, for the first time here, as a working medium, I tested him, if you like. over a couple of things, and he come through on three occasions very actively. So he is what he says he is now, what he's going to become.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. And so, you know, Derek, I want to ask you, when are you coming over here to New York to hang out with me? Because
You know what? I'd love to. But you know what? I'm not going to be too far away from you very shortly, Jesse. On August, the beginning of August, the 2nd of August, I'm flying into Boston.
Nice. That's not too far away from me at all.
How far is Boston from New York? Forgive my ignorance.
It's probably like maybe an hour or 2 hour drive. Not that bad.
Well, I'm coming out to do a live demonstration for a very big organization. A live demonstration and a Q&A. And I trust these lovely people, and they've talked to me about what their intentions are about, you know, doing things in America.
Okay.
And so I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm also going out after that to India.
Wow.
Wow.
To sacred sites right across India, which is going to be televised.
Wow, that is some awesome, awesome stuff, because it's always good to get, you know, out of your backyard, as I always say.
Yes.
You get out of your backyard, you meet new people, and more people, and Alan, I hope you agree with me, when you have this gift,
yes,
the more people that meet you, the better, because you're able to help more people as opposed to individual one person at a time.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, and also shows like a show like this is to get the word out as well. So, but I agree.
Absolutely, Alan.
But in person, that's magnificent, I agree. And, I mean, you can't get a much more spiritual country than India. Their beliefs, that literally from the moment a child is born, they are actually instilled into the spirituality of life.
They are. And there's some very, say, again, many years ago, you know, gentlemen, I wrote up a list for the Control of Living TV. I called him the spiritual warrior. There's a man I'm glad to speak about wherever I go in the world, Richard Wolff, who was a Jewish man. And he was the only one that could see in the British television where Most Haunted could go. So he commissioned, whereas all the others turned them down. And speaking to Richard Wolff, he said to me, Derek, you know, whilst I was committed to Most Haunted, before I started doing Ghost Towns, he said to me, write me a list, Derek. We're having lunch this one day. Write me a list of some of the places that you'd like to go in your level of your work, investigations, to unfold things. And I wrote a list, and it was, to my knowledge, I've still got the list here. It was 12 places, mostly sacred sites in the world. They were the places. And one of the first was, top of the list, number one, was Egypt, which he commissioned. Sadly, because Most Haunted was so popular and what have you, he got asked to go to terrestrial TV from Living TV, which was not terrestrial, and he went to Channel 5, you know, for Ocean, and the other. So the people that took over from him didn't have the same vision, so, you know, this is what happened with Most Haunted. Because the great Richard Wolff, the spiritual warrior, was no longer there. But anyway, going back to the list, and it's funny, I was only speaking to Richard maybe in London about 5 or 6 weeks ago. He said, have you still got that list? And I said, yes, it's in my head, never mind on a piece of paper or in the computer. And he said, well, you know what? The moment I get myself fixed up in, you know, a good network again, he said, I'm going to call on you. Now, that list is wonderful, wonderful. But, you know, India was the second after, and I'm getting my opportunity to go to India without Richard.
So it sounds like to me, and I'm a pretty smart cookie sometimes, that you're doing a tech scout for all the places that you want to go and get all the work done. This way you could just move on the projects very quickly. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I want them done. I mean, I want to go. I spent a bit of time out in Australia about 4 years, many years ago, when I was playing football. And I so wanted to go to Ayers Rock. And because of the history of Ayers Rock, which was in a different state. Where I was living, it was about a four-hour flight from Adelaide to where Ayers Rock is. And I went there, and I spent only a day and a half. But whilst I was there, the place had a huge, huge impact on me.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Another place, someone said, well, why don't you go over a stretch of water, like, you know, what's going across America, where it's got a history of ships and planes going down. And I said, I know who you're talking about. But that wasn't as strong as some of the most sacred places on land. And I dare not talk about them because I know in our field of work, gentlemen,
other people are going to jump on it real quick because that's just the way they are. Matter of fact, talking about that, I won't talk about this little man. I won't say his little name, Dare, live on radio or any other media. But there's a little guy that likes to cause a lot of trouble out there.
Jesse, you have to, don't you? You can't.
Because, you know, Derek, one of my personalities as part of it is that, you know, I'm tremendously loving and I have a big open heart.
Yes.
But when somebody pisses me off, I don't know what happens. I just turn the other way in a way that's just unbelievable, and I just can't let go of it.
Okay.
But there's a little man out there that me and you both have a history with that just goes around and just starts to try to have problems. And he goes by – we could call him the devil if you know who he is now.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's amazing how it's such a small world, isn't it?
We all know. All three of us know.
Good. And
we all know the devil.
You know, if you've experienced this devil's work rate and his communications with yourselves, I'm sure you soon realize rather quickly that, you know, he's not the devil incarnate, but he's what we call a little devil soldier.
Yes.
He's the soldier of darkness.
Yes.
Olympic.
Yes. Absolutely, Alan.
The smallest of the small, yes.
This moment in time, he's scrabbling about in his life, not knowing what he's doing, what he can do, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, if you gentlemen link in with the karmic conditions of life, he's now really reeling under the karmic conditions that he's brought back on himself.
But, you know, we're meant to know or be in touch with people like this, Derek.
Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah. It isn't that you can avoid them all of your life. And I think what it is, we have to, I suppose, learn from it.
Oh, we've got to comic that, I'm sure we have to.
And we're also supposed, because you're light workers and you are good souls, you're supposed to have left an impression. Even though you would never gain back that information, what good impression you've left with them. For them to look upon an enrichment that they've gained something by meeting you.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yes.
And there's also, you know, and I'm sure in some other life, Derek.
Oh, yes.
You have screwed him badly.
Yes.
And as a result, he's looking to return the favor.
Absolutely, yeah. It never stops. I accept that, you know, as it is. And I know from one week to another, or one day to another, he's cropping up, you know, although not always showing himself or always personally putting himself out there, because he knows that he's been caught out, and my lawyers are just waiting to
Derek, right? You've heard that song, haven't you? You've heard that song, haven't you? He'll be thinking that this song is about him.
Yes.
Right? Well, right. Okay. Well, that's a scenario, isn't it? Because if you listen to the show, even though no names are mentioned,
he'll know
who it is.
Yeah, and you can be sure if he's not listening at this moment in time, some of his devil soldiers let him know.
His brothers in arms, yes.
Yes.
I know, and you know what? I know these other people too, which is kind of weird.
Really?
But I'm not surprised because, as they say, a bird of a feather flock together.
Together, yes.
So I'm not surprised at all that we've we've run up, to, you know, we've run into the same people. And but you know what? It's part of the industry that we try to work with each other to put spirituality forward as a movement, and
absolutely,
what we do together as a movement, and
yes,
to be friends.
That's right.
Because we are brothers and sisters of the light working together.
Yeah. The soldiers of the darkness, like him, cannot conceive, perceive, or even try to comprehend what feelings are going through us, because they're certainly not going through him.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's so funny. So, Derek, here's a good question I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if somebody's ever asked you before,
mm-hmm,
but you had tremendous healing ability as a kid. I mean, and your grandmother really did see that in you.
Yes.
Have you ever tried to maybe pursue where you're hands-on healer or no?
Well, you know, funny enough, Jesse, without any thinking about it, in my live demonstrations now, I'm doing that with my
platform meetings.
Yes, I'm doing it now, and you know, it shocked me because I thought, I'm not thinking about this. Spirit gets me off the stage. I run out into the theatre and I go to a person and I say, "There's a conditioner." Yes, it could be a man with a woman, his wife, or a woman with a husband. Yes, that. And I say, "Well, please stand." And I do it, and then you get a letter back a day or two later through the internet or a phone call saying, "It's amazing. My husband is standing straight in this." And you know what? Spirits are working that way with me again now.
That's marvelous. That's good.
Wow, that's awesome. So we want to put out there, if you go to see Derek on one of his tours, not only you may get a reading, but you're going to get healing. Because, you know, here's another thing I want to say to you, Derek. And I noticed this, and obviously I'm a young man in my career.
Yes.
And this is why I look up to you guys, because you guys have the experience. But I have noticed that when you do platform readings, that even though you may be giving it to someone down the room,
yeah,
if other people listen in very carefully, that the message also applies to them, because everybody room was meant to be in that room at that time.
Yes,
they're all connected by a common thread.
Yes.
And when you give somebody the reading, they're all getting a reading, really.
Yes. How many times they say, you know, right up to the other evening, you know, we've worked very hard on this tour up to now. And we're on the run in now to finishing for the summer, and I think we've done something like, by the time we finish, another six left, something like nearly 70 theatres. But I've noticed in the theatres they are, and that's only half the tour, the next is the autumn, but we've noticed that people are saying, although I didn't get a connection myself, although I was listening to that particular reading and saying, I could apply that to myself, and, you know, I feel much better, you know, since coming here. It's the first time I've ever come, and definitely, are you coming back, please? I want to come back again. And
you've just mentioned your tour, Derek. Could we get thousands and thousands of listeners in the UK. Would you like to tell us where you're going to be?
Well, the thing is, like I said to you, Alan, I'm now, basically now down to the last six. I haven't got at hand my diet.
Okay, no problem. Sorry.
Derek, did you just go get some tea right now? Did you just go get some tea? What'd you get?
I had a cup of tea.
Yep, you see? How good am I, huh?
No, you're not bad. You're not bad. You're good.
How funny is that?
Yes, when I'm walking out, and I was just getting, my wife was just giving me a nice cup of tea.
It's so English.
I love my tea.
Yeah. What do you have? Yeah. What do you like, though? What is it? Earl? Which tea?
No, I like normal English breakfast tea. Earl Brown. Earl is nice, and others. Lemon tea. We drink cold lemon tea. Lemon tea, I should say, when it's warm. But no, generally the breakfast tea is nice.
Now, Derek, I seen you with one of your one of your little puppies. I call him a puppy because I love him. He looks like such a mush, right? Because he's so loving. But everybody out there who's listening to it, this is no puppy. This is a monster of a dog, okay?
Oh, yes.
But I call him a puppy because he looks like such a mush.
And now you're talking about Jack or Penny.
I don't know. I think he's a dark and white. He's spotted.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's the one that I'm talking about. Now, we had a pet psychic, which she is phenomenal here in the States by the name of Shira. She is unfreaking believable, right?
It was incredible.
Now, let me ask you this. Your connection with your dogs.
Yes.
How does that work spiritually? Does it work in your spiritual world too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Penny and Jack, they are, I mean, the dogs that have been very, very perceptive of spirit energy in visitation in our home. In actual fact, Jack and Penny can let Gwen and I, my wife Gwen and I, know that there's someone in the house before I even know. And, you know, they were meant to be with us, you know, from puppies. And, you know, before those two, I had a beautiful dog still with us at the age of 17 and a half. And her name, she was a German Shepherd, and, you know, Cara. And she was the most perceptive dog I've ever, ever experienced in my life. This dog could, you know, she'd let you know. She was so, so protective of things. Let me tell you a story, a very true story. I said to my wife one particular evening, it was a weekend time, and we live in the countryside, so of course there's not many shops and super malls close to us, and I needed to get something, and I said, what I'll do is I'll walk, it was about 10 p.m. in the evening, I'll walk Cara up to the place, buy what I've got to buy, and then I'll come back. As we went up to the place, she never needed walking on a lead. She just walked freely. And it must have been a good, I don't know, 3 minutes out from the place. And she started to get agitated and started barking and looking up at me. And then, as if she wanted some kind of recognition, can I go ahead? And I just looked, and off she went. And by the time I got to the place, when I got into the place, there's Cara. I got two young guys pinned against the bar. It was a pub that sold cigarettes.
Oh, right.
And she had the two guys pinned, and there was girls, young ladies, all screaming and what have you. And it turned out that these two guys attacked the manager of the pub, the restaurant, and were demanding money. Cara went in and stopped the robbery.
Wow.
Now, what a dog, eh? What a dog.
I can assume no one robbed your house, Derek.
Never. Well, let me tell you what happened after that. Cara was given the freedom, okay, of that restaurant to come along with me anytime we liked. And we used to go, honestly, gentlemen, to the back where the chefs used to come out and give us T-bone steaks, sirloin steaks, and everything.
Incredible. Incredible.
It's the truth. It's on record at that pub, okay? Pub record.
that is fantastic.
Wow, that is so awesome because, you know, I saw the picture with you and the dog and it just looked so natural that you were so you actually looked happy.
I'm so happy with the animal kingdom, more so than humankind, to be honest with you, Jesse, because of all the animals that have been, we've never owned animals, we never do. But if those animals decide to live with us after we selected them and they're happy with us, they show that super, super unconditional love that some humans can't really perceive or do.
Absolutely true.
All our animals have always been that way. So the two that are with us now, we know they love us as we love them. And it's just we as a family, Gwen and I, as a husband and wife, my children, my grandchildren, we wouldn't be such happy human beings if there wasn't the animal kingdom. That's for sure.
That's true. Now, do you take your dogs on tour with you, or are you they stay home?
I can't. Well, actually, when they were puppies, yes, I did. When they were little puppies, But once they become bigger dogs, it becomes a bit more awkward. what we do when we go on tour, we have what we call babysitters or dog sitters.
Dog sitters.
My sister-in-law, Christine, who's Gwen's sister, comes and stays at our place, very happy to do so. When she can't do it, my daughter, Jane, she actually comes and stays here with her husband, Ray. So the dogs are never out of their home environment.
Oh, right. That's good. That's good.
None of my dogs ever, even the cats we've had, they've never gone into kennels.
Well, you see, that they pick up on that, don't they? And it's a very unsettling and emotional time for a dog or a cat.
Oh, it must be horrible for them. But if you can keep them in their environment and you keep them with people who know them, they're your extended family, so the animals just tick over and say, well, okay, mum and dad will be back because, you know, I'm still in the same home. I'm with the family, you know. They can work that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a lot more intelligent than people give credit for a lot of the time.
Well, yes, very much. I'm always saying it. Oh, yeah, I mean, you know these scientists who dictate on figures and times and this, that, and the other percentages, and they say an average dog is probably like a young boy or a young girl, you know, up to the age of 4 or 5. I'm sorry, No. That's not my opinion. My opinion is, yeah, the perception of things. The longer an animal lives with you, the more they take on board the human aspect of understanding. And if you happen to be so fortunate to have a dog, maybe, or even a cat, live with you. I mean, we had Mork and Mindy. We named these two kittens many years ago after that.
Mork and Mindy, Robin Mork Williams, Mindy. The show.
Absolutely. We brought those two little girl and boy in. And you know what? Mork stayed with us until he was 19, before he moved on. And then Mindy stayed till she was 25. Now, that's not a bad age, is it?
No, that's brilliant.
That's crazy.
I remember the last couple of months of Mindy's physical life when I took her to the vet, and the vet had grown with her, known her for 25 years. And he said, she's one of the oldest cats I've actually had to attend to. I know her inside out, upside down. And he looked at her and he said, all I want to do, Derek, is look at it in her eyes. He looked in her eyes and he said, Derek, she's now tired. She needs to go on a journey. Wow. And I agreed. Because her body was letting her down. But when her mind was concerned and her love was concerned, that was still there 100%.
Going back quite a few years ago, the next door neighbour to my father-in-law, they saw this dog being thrown out of a car window on the M6. Near Cannock. And they stopped and they rescued this dog. And it was the most loving, beautiful dog. It could count and it didn't just count, it could subtract, it could multiply. Yeah. It was just.
Well, that's right.
See, incredible.
People don't comprehend how clever they can be. I mean, my friends, we've got a little place in Spain where we go and break off, you know, after the long, hard year, and we just cut off. There's no phone lines or anything like that, and we just go and relax and chill out and just be with the family and what have you. But there's an animal sanctuary in this part of Spain where there are, you know, animals, dogs, cats, even ponies, I suppose, where they are being neglected, whether it be by the Spanish people or the people who are living over there, you know, expats and what have you. But there's a huge amount of loving animals that are just left on roadways and this, that, and the other. And a good friend of mine, Colin Fry, who's a medium.
Oh, Colin, we know him really well. He's going to be coming on the show in 2 weeks.
Yes. Colin has got a place down in Murcia, which is about maybe an hour and a half drive from where I live in Catral, or I've got my place, or we've got our place. And he's only been out there with his partner, Mikey, for maybe 6 months, and he's rescued about 8 dogs already.
Oh my God, keep the man
and
away.
He shows his photographs through, and they're loving animals. You can see how much they love him. and thanking him, you know, for saving them. Wow, it's wonderful.
I'm sure Mikey's like, listen, let's not go there again. We just don't need that 12th.
They won't be able to help themselves, Jesse. They'll only be 20.
You know, he'll become on those one of those reality TV show, the hoarders, yes. Like animal hoarders.
Yes, yes.
Like, you know, you go in there, there's like 50 cats. He's like, oh, yes. Crap, I got to get out of here.
There's a lady, a client of mine, who was over to our home last week, and she's rescued this King Spaniel, and it's got a disease in her eye. And she rescued it from a place in Ireland, and apparently if they don't get somebody come and take these unwanted dogs within a week, this particular place, apparently they club them to death.
Oh, man, that's not cool.
Man, that's barbaric.
Yeah, that's definitely not cool. Listen, talking about clubbing to death, let's see if you're willing to talk about this, Derek. You ready for this?
Go on.
You willing to talk about Sam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime.
Okay. All right. Because as we're talking, Sam's tapping me on the shoulder.
Okay.
I wasn't prepared to talk about Sam at all because whatever, you know, I fly with things.
Yeah.
Now I understand that you. Now let me give everybody out there a backstory here, because me and Derek know what we're talking about, but you guys may not. Derek's guide for many, many years and for lifetimes has shared lifetimes with Derek has been Sam. And Derek has used Sam as his main guide for a very long period of time and has a very long-standing relationship with Sam. As we have our own guides, relationships that you – the best way you could describe this is as if you're married to your husband or wife, right?
Absolutely, yes.
That's the relationship you have with your guide when you get to this level, okay? Yes. And Derek and Sam have split. Not like it was some type of gay relationship, but they have not. Then put it this way, it's no longer a working relationship is the best way to put it. Like a partnership. The partnership has been split off. Can you tell me what happened and what caused the breakup?
Well, in the previous lifetime, we're talking about, yeah. I knew Sam. I was born as a Ethiopian child to an Ethiopian family. And Sam in those days was known to our village area and many places in Ethiopia as the seer, the oracle. And he'd walk for miles and miles to different places, talk to the heads of the villages and tell them about the crops, how they were going to go, how the harvest, and give them directive and tell them in those days in Ethiopia we had marauding village type people who liked nothing better but to just go in, come in and attack and so on and stuff. And he'd give people the nod if that was supposed to happen. And what actually happened was one particular day I was playing out up above the village area over on a higher plane, and there was screaming and shouting and what have you. And I was with a good friend who was with me at the time, and we were looking through the shrub, and we could see that our village had been attacked. And we just lay there, and we weren't going to move. We were in fear. Adults screaming and the children screaming. And we lay there until the darkness, and then we decided we'll go down, we'll crawl down into the village area to see and witness the most horrific, horrible experience anyone ever wished to see, and to see my own mother and father, my brothers and sisters and all the village people also slaughtered. It's just not, you just couldn't take it in. It was the fear, skin, and what we both decided to do was just hide. And we realized it was like two sunsets. And then suddenly we heard Sam's voice shouting out. Now, he was shouting out because he must have, this was in daylight, he must have looked at every person that was there that had been, you know, slaughtered. And shouted out my name because I was missing, I wasn't there. And after a little while, when in recognition it was Sam, I came from where I was hiding, and he put his arms around me and told me that what had actually happened was totally wrong, and the other, and I must come with him now, and he would be like my father. And we walked, and we went to places, until we went, and it was over a number of years, and they just fed him. That's what he got. He didn't get money or anything like that. Fed him, and that was his vocation. He was meant to do that. He was happy with it. And we went to one, or we were on the outskirts of one area, and he said, we have to be very careful here, because this is uncharted territory. I've never been in this area. They may reject us. If they do, don't you open your mouth, and you just walk with me and walk away. Well, we went into this area, and there was a rather upsetting reception. You could see on the faces of the heads of the village, they didn't really want to know. And we were ushered out of the area, and we started walking, and Sam said to me, keep walking, do not turn back. Anyway, we got up into an area that got dark, and we were both absolutely, well, I know I was starving, I was hungry as a young boy, and he must have been as well. So I said, you know, should I go down and see if I can get some food? And he said, no. You lie down, we'll find food tomorrow. Sleep. So we both lay down, and I was just, my tummy, my stomach was really reeling, and I suppose I must have been one of those free-spirited children, I don't know. But I decided to go against his wishes, and I crawled down to the village, successfully stole food. And I thought I was getting away with it, because I started going back, and I think I must have been about maybe halfway back to where Sam was, feeling really good. I think I'm awake, Sam, and say, I've got food for you. And then so there, this rustle above me, the sound, and I could see these men above me, and they're all screaming and shouting. And the next minute I felt this feeling, pain, then dullness in my waist, then another feeling. And what they did, they speared me. And left me for dead, as they would call it. Sam woke up apparently and come down, crawled down. It was still dark at this time. And next thing I looked up and I saw his face. He cradled me. And he was looking down at me and he said to me, son, you are now going to join your mummy and your dad, your papa. But remember this, I will be back with you again in time. And he didn't explain what he was going to be, what was going to happen, what. And then I just closed my eyes, and that was it. And he was meant, apparently, to, in that lifetime, to pass that message on to me, because I would come again into a new life. Okay, it's chosen as England, it could be anywhere in the world, to any family, but Sam was designated to be my guide. And he's still the greatest. I mean, my dad, my lovely physical dad, passed over a number of years ago, and he was a good father. But see, what's happened now, I haven't got my physical earth father, but I've still got a dad that's still alongside me. And without him, I couldn't do my way. He's the best.
Exactly. So do you still use Sam as your guide?
I couldn't do anything else. How could I disjoint from him? People say that he moved away from me. He didn't move away from me. There was a period of time, and what they were trying to say was, the period of time that we broke was in between life incarnations.
I can totally understand that one, Derek, because that's the very close relationship I've got with my guide as well.
Good.
You know, my guide, funny enough, he was on about South America. My guide comes from South America, Ronaldo, and now he's not the footballer.
No.
And it's like 400 years plus ago that we were together.
So this year, mine was 2,037 years ago.
Incredible. Oh. Incredible.
Amazing. Amazing. I think it's so wonderful that we get to have these relationships, And it's almost like we have many lives within our lives.
Yes, yes. You know what is often said about, you know, the spirit, the soul, is that you can be there in the world of spirit and you can decide to reincarnate, come into a new life cycle, and only stay a very short space of time, such as children, you know, children stillborn, children lost in the womb with the mums, children who only survive for a week or a couple of weeks, and what have you, and then they come back to themselves over in the world of spirit. But they're not true lifetime, because you've not come here to experience anything of great importance. And generally when that happens, as I've been explained to from the world of spirit, especially from Sam, is that you really, those children are not really meant to come here. But the spirit of the children have decided they want to try it. And then once they, you know, are formed within the womb, the spirit realizes they're not really meant to come. And then they
I've got a daughter in spirit exactly the same as that, Derek.
Have you?
Yeah. And she actually, she seems to like in spirit to be about the age of about seven. And
yes.
She sits in the back of my car with my dad, who's passed away in 1992. And they come on many, many journeys. And as I sit there driving, I can feel her playing with the back of my hair, even though if you look in the mirror, there's nothing moving.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
She's with me, you know, all of the time. And,
yes.
So I know totally what you're talking about.
That's her choice, and she's wanting to do that. And I think it's lovely to see the children that are in the world of spirit come along. I explained in my demonstrations how many times I'll pick someone out of the audience and say, a little girl or a little boy was lost by you, and the tears of joy just come through, and then explain exactly what the children are doing and who they're with, meaning family members, to give reassurance that their child has survived this so-called physical death, or not even been born, but they're with, you know, maybe grandparents, they're with other people, and name them. And that gives a fabulous reassurance to the poor lady that is wondered what's happened to the child.
It's strange because although I've got three sons, a stepson, six grandchildren.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got a few.
That's great. That's great.
But it's strange. The close, I mean, I love all of them dearly, but there's a different kind of connection with Caroline, and you know, it's so when you actually said that, it was just I can feel it right now. It just took everything, you know, brought everything home to me in a way.
Yes. Can I tell you which I've never shared but many, in actual fact, the only people I've shared this with is my wife, so I feel very safe to speak to you first, Jesse, and yourself, Alan, about this. So I'm privileged over it, but I feel it, I deem it right to say this to you both. Many years ago, like everyone, you know, no matter who you are, what your station is in life, surely you will hit a period where you could be feeling the lowest of you've ever been. And it was around the time when my professional football was ended because of knee injury and so on and so forth. Is that I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because I'm a young person, this and the other. And I remember it was mid-January in England, in the north. It was snowing, it was icy, and I decided to drive in a slightly, the only time, a confused state of mind that I was in ever. And I parked my car up on this beach area, and I walked on the beach. The winds were like gale force. The snow was coming down. It was about half past 3 in the morning. And what was going through my mind at that time was probably the most stupidest thing. But however, I was doing it, thinking, I'm going to walk out into that water and I'm just not going to come back.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, it wasn't a sound because the wind was howling. snow was hitting my face, my body. It was like a snowman walking along. All of a sudden, this different type of sound occurred in front of me. And as I walked on, suddenly the area in front of me, to my left, was a glow. And in that glow, I saw this young lady. And I thought, it's 3:30 in the morning. It's mid-January. It's snowing. What's this young... My first, because she was a lot younger looking than me, I wanted to say, what are you doing? I was at this, you know, you could be molested. And as she walked past me, she smiled and just said, I'm your sister, Angela.
Wow.
Go back and everything will be fine. Go back to your car and go home. Don't do what you're thinking you're doing. You're not to come here. You've got a lot of work to do. That was my sister, my baby sister. I passed away through what we call in England cot death. She was only a few weeks old. Now there she was as a young woman. And I knew it was my sister.
It's strange, isn't it, Derek? Because we've both had similar experiences in a way, haven't we?
Yes.
Derek, let me ask you, because I'm just getting this. Did you have two sisters that passed?
No, one.
One? Okay. Well,
yeah. One sister, and that was Angela. And she still, to this day, she turns up everywhere, Jesse. She'll turn up at the theatre. I'm ready to go out behind the cab, the tabs, the curtains, and she'll be there waving on the other side. Or she'll turn up with my grandmother, who is the medium. They're both waiting for me. My gran will give me that, like, go on, son, get out there. You know?
Get out there and show them what you can do.
Yeah. And I get, whenever they show themselves, I've got an energy like a 16-year-old. Not the age that I am, 63, you know.
We're the same age, Derek.
We are.
You were born in January, I was born in March.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, I want to say this. It's kind of funny, Derek. You and I have something in common.
Yeah.
In my family, all the mediums were all women.
Yes.
And I'm the first boy.
Like me, yeah.
Who's the first medium psychic.
So feel privileged, Jesse.
I tell everybody... When people meet me, I'm a metrosexual, which essentially means is that I use facial scrubbers, I use creams, I dress nice, I smell nice.
That's good.
I do my hair. I'm like a woman, essentially. You know, that's what women tell me. I don't say that to be sexist. No, by all means, I am not a sexist. That's just what women tell me.
No.
When I use my energy, I use a very female energy, even though my guides are males and I have females also. But
I do likewise. My feminine side just come through.
Exactly.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good because it makes the sensitive that you are even more approachable and more endearing to people because. If you like this, like, macho, stinky, non-smelling person, people would walk away from you.
We've got a club here of three, then.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So it's really great how we can break cycles. And I also say break cycles behaviorally in the family.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So I also have broken behavioral cycles in the family.
Absolutely. You know, you've got to look at the way I look at things is say, believe in what you are. Believe in what you're meant to be. And believe what you're meant to do. Those three things together.
I may put that up on my Facebook. I just have to steal that quote for you.
That's all right. Oh yeah,
it's so wonderful when we get to speak to a person such as yourself because you know let's change the genre here because I like to change it around and just flip screens sometimes.
Okay. I'm sorry, Jesse. Just before you do that, I just want to ask something to Derek that is totally trivial, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But I keep getting loads of people in America. I know lots of people in America. And they keep saying that I sound like John Lennon, and I can't for the life of me think why.
There is a lightness to it. Yeah, there is.
All right, okay.
It's not the heaviest, but it's like the drawl, you know? Yeah, there is a likeness, and they are correct, yes.
All right, okay. It's because, you know, you're from the beautiful city of Liverpool. I thought, I've got to ask you.
Oh, yeah. My God. That's hilarious. Let's get into something a little bit more icky and wickies. Really icky. Let's talk about lower vibration entities, right?
Yes.
So you've been able to really enter in your career into a lot of places where there were entities that were just low-level entities, and I know the producers look to go to that place because it makes good entertainment, right?
Yes.
Were you ever physically attacked in a very maligned way?
I was attacked in such a way that left me exhausted, left me drained of energy. One occasion where we did an investigation at a wine bar in Manchester, north of England, I, for the first time and only time, that was the worst. And that was because I allowed two negative energies to enter, come in, through into my auric, through my auric field, and to for me to channel them, but only knowing that one was going to be channeled, and then the other suddenly to jump in. Now, the effect on my physical body was quite horrific because it brought me to my knees. And then when I realized that I had no feelings in my legs and they were getting me off and they'd stopped the camera work, they had to rush me to, like, you know, hospital conditions. And I had no feelings in my legs. I thought I'd been crippled.
Wow.
And what was found out is that my white corpuscles, as they call it medically, and the red were separated.
Wow, crap.
So it was a medical condition. And I didn't get the feelings back into my legs for a good 4.5 days.
Wow. So here's the next real question now. Does that scare you that we don't know? Like, you know, okay, we have this swagger about us that we know what's going on sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we have experience and we have guides and, like, well, this and that, right?
Yeah.
Did that sort of humble you that maybe there are things that are out of control that we didn't know, even though we thought we knew them? Let me give you an example. You thought you were bringing one, and you were thinking that your guide would protect you and be the, as what they call in the spiritual world, the gatekeeper, right? It's the gatekeeper that controls the gate, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're thinking that the gate was safe,
yeah.
But then the gate was not safe.
Well, of course, you can say that Sam maybe was not as sharp as what he should have been, to allow two to come in when I only agreed to one, and not knowing what it was going to feel like. And, of course, let's talk about the intent of the invading spirit energy, Jesse.
Okay.
The one I'm dealing with now was I found out to be a killer, a man that was a rapist, and he was never brought to justice, although they brought him in. In inquiries through what was checked out, but they never ever, you know, charged him, never convicted him, and he was still around with his evil intent, still as bad as what he was, even though he was of the spirit energy. But his cohort, that word we were talking about earlier on, likeness attracts likeness, it's a feather. So he attracted someone of similar ilk of nature. So I had the two of them in there, and because I'd never gone there before, never experienced that level of energy, it affected my physical. Never to be done again, because it never was. I said to the, you know, they said, oh, fantastic television. I said, never mind. I want to, you know, stay on this plane of life for the amount of time I'm meant to, you know, with my family. So it was never, ever ever done again in any of the other series, and I was even more careful, you know, to accept and do the channeling until I got to a point in time where I stopped doing the channeling altogether.
Have you ever been, I'm not talking about in the spirit world now, Derek, but in the physical world, have you ever had the misfortune to have a stalker? I'm asking for a reason because
physical
I've
stalker.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah. We've had them, yes.
I've got it going on with me at the moment. I've had the police here today at my invitation to do something about it, and I was just curious. Yeah.
Yes, I've had it. Rather bizarre, evil. We've had two. I was recording one of the most haunted lives a few years ago, and there was a man that was... I was being driven in at the beginning of the show, in an old vintage car by an old lord that owned all these special cars, and that was where we were doing the investigation at his old historic home. And as I'm being driven along by the lord, and I don't mean the Lord God, but the lord, this chap happened to run alongside the vehicle, and he shouted up to me because I was in the back. And it was going out live on TV at the beginning. Derek, of course, I looked down, I said yes, and he said, I'm going to kill you later. And I thought no more of it, you know, and he mingled into the crowd because there was an audience, an outside audience of some like 1,000 people whilst we were doing the investigation. But before we went on to filming, the security there was very, very, very big and strong. One of the security men come alongside. He said, did that man threaten you? And I said, yes, he did. Anyway, they went looking for him. They found him in the crowd, and they brought him back away from the crowd. They took his top clothing off, and they found a big machete.
Wow.
So that was a little bit of a struggle. But worse than that was we were at Granada Studios TV doing a psychic lifetime program that I used to do Monday and Fridays, and Scotland Yard in London got in touch with the producers saying that they were taking this threat seriously, and they were going to correlate with Liverpool police over this, you know, threats that were coming through. And there were letters, and so we were getting letters saying they're going to kill me and my wife in bed, and they're going to kill our dogs, and so on and so forth. Anyway, we had drive-bys by the police, gun drive-bys, whilst I was away working, whilst my wife was at home. They traced this woman back to, not London, but to localise just outside Manchester up in the north. When they went to see her and, I don't know, charge her, and what, they found that she'd had mental health problems. So all they did with her was just refer her back through the mental health. Then there was a third one that was from an organisation in London that did likewise threaten to, you know, kill both my wife and I.
That's terrible.
My children, and my children, my dogs.
Great organisation, huh?
Yeah, and they got those people. And I know they were tried and they were put to jail.
Wow, good for you. Good.
There's the three things that have ever happened, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because, you know, when we do this line of work, even though we're healing people, we're running into a lot of other people. And, you know, I have to say this, but, you know, because I have to be truthful, because this is one way to also take some of the covers off our industry, because we're always afraid of talking about the truth sometimes.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of people who have mental illnesses that are attracted to our line of work, okay? Because it feeds into their disease.
Yes, indeed. And it's a very fine line between somebody who's got a mind problem, a proper mental issue, and somebody who's actually having a possession. And there are people who are walking the streets who, with greatest respect, should be in an institution. And there's a lot of people in an institution who should be walking the streets.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a very difficult fine line.
It is. Unfortunately, our, I don't like calling profession, our calling, calling is we have to face every type of situation.
Personality?
Right word, yeah. There's nothing else like it, where they have to face personalities like we do. So basically, you can, you know, I mean, just here's something that only happened only a couple of days ago. How's this for you? How fresh could this be? My wife, we just got back after doing a show. It was quite late at night. And she said to me, you know what, Derek? We've run out of milk. Can you nip along to the store, Tesco's, and just get a carton of milk? I said, yeah, and we can have a cup of tea before we go on. I go, drive my car, park it up, successfully go and get the milk, come out, going back to my car, and I heard this shouting, Derek, Derek, Derek Acora. So I turn, and there's this chap, this man, quite a tall man, about 6'1", running across the forecourt. And he's smiling. So as I get closer to him, I think, you know, and he said, how you doing, mate? Puts his hand out to shake my hand. Is it been like, you know, I enjoy your work, or, you know, I know about you, or whatever it is. And as I put my hand forward, he grabs my hand and drags me to his body and starts virtually spitting at the mouth, screaming at me, saying to me, ever since, he said, I hate you, man. Ever since you came on television, my wife has never been the same woman. I've got to go out when your program Most Haunted comes on. She sends me off to the pub, or she says to me, go and, you know, go ride the bike or something. She cuts the telephones off and this, that, and the other. Now, this is the sort of thing that's going on in viewing our type of work.
Yeah.
Now, I've never known the man from Adam.
Yeah.
And yet, he's accusing me, because of this, you know, what I do, as being a fascination to his wife, and because he can't understand it or doesn't want to understand or even watch the program, he has this innate hatred for me.
Well, don't worry about it, Derek. My ex-wife hates you too. Don't worry about it.
Is that as well as yourself, Jesse?
I'm in there too. Don't worry. I'm on the tank. But you're in there too.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'll tell you this story. Me and my ex-wife used to watch your show religiously.
Really?
Oh, God. And here in the States, it would come on Friday night, Alan.
Yeah.
It would come on Friday night, like about 8 or 9 o'clock. And it was shown on the Travel Channel here in the States for cable.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And I would be running home, like, you know, that's all you would hear running up the stairs, you know, me coming up, trying to get in there so I could make and just get everything together. You know, you got to get your soda, you got to get some snacks, you got to get the whole thing taken, you know, you got to get everything in place so that you can watch the show in peace.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much. And here's another question, because, and Alan, I don't know about you, this hasn't happened to me because I would get so angry with spirit, but it hasn't happened to me yet because I don't go into those type of situations, but... Yeah. A lot of times in a show, these spirits throw things at you.
I've done clearings when that has happened, and it's actually happened to the people who live in the house. So, I don't know if you're aware of it, Derek. A lot of the work I do is clearing bad energies out of people's homes and that type of thing. So, what you've just said there, Jesse, I totally relate to that one.
Well, what's that all about? How do they use that energy? How does that happen?
It's basically they're very unsettled, angry spirits, and if it's the ones that have lived on the earth, they were angry and bad and perhaps murderous. Or you can even have like the demons that haven't lived on this earth come down and create that kind of effect. So there isn't a straightforward answer to it. Would you agree with that one, Derek?
Yes, I would, yeah, primarily. The low orb spirits, and as you say, you know, were demons in different names, but entities that have not actually lived in a life's incarnation that are different realms, if you like. They make up a great deal of the problems that people experience in their homes. I mean,
The stupid thing about it, Derek, is that these things that people, which I can totally understand, completely fear, they are once they're confronted, they are so cowardly, it's unbelievable.
Of course they are, yes. They are cowards. And, you know, if you let them know that you've got knowledge of what they can do, how far they can go, they group, regroup, talk to themselves and say, hey, this guy or this person knows more than what we expected and what have you, and you can sort them out. You deal with them.
That's right.
I mean, over the years, how many times I've been called to go out and to place, and I've done it, and we've successfully cleared the places and for them to be cleansed for all time and for people to get on and live their lives okay. But they can get up to some real troublesome things, and, you know, for the person who doesn't understand about their capacities and what they can do, it's rather frightening to them.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah. And I suppose it's probably because I'm dealing with it all the time. I don't mean I get blasé, I don't mean it like that. But I suppose it's like anybody doing any kind of job, you get used to what you have to do.
Absolutely. You know.
Derek, I'm so sorry. Get, say it again. I'm sorry.
What you're doing, Alan, is a very, very, very good, effective job in work. So congratulations, you're doing a grand job. Okay.
Thank you for that, Derek.
Alan's
that
a better man
a lot
than me. Alan's a better man than me. You can't pay me to go to anybody's house to clear up no negative energies. Because you know, I've had my bouts with what I would call demonic spirits. Mm-hmm. Or whatever you want to call them, bad energies, whatever label you want to put on them. And I want to tell you, it takes forever to fight with these guys. They don't give up. And it's just not worth it.
Yeah. No, the thing is, if you don't mind me saying it with humility, if you say the right words to these particular, you can't even call them souls then, if you say to this particular entity, key words of your knowledge, you know what their intent is, what they can actually do, they stand back and they realize that you are aware even more so of their capabilities, and they won't put the effort in after that. And especially if you give them a few key words of what you can do from this side, they muck their pants, so to speak.
Right. You're spot on there, dude.
I'm trying to get this here for you, and I'm looking online as we're talking because I'm trying to find that place where you're going to be in August in the United States, in Boston.
Yeah.
And people can find you, just so that on the radio show here, you can find Derek Acora on DerekAcora.com. You can find him on his Facebook page. He has plenty of fan page. You just punch in Derek Acora, he comes up, he's all over the place. You cannot not find this guy. It's kind of impossible. Okay? I'm looking over here. I just get you all over the place in Carnegie Hall. Oh, by the way, Derek, I stayed once at the Lanesboro.
Oh, yes.
And I want to tell you, I couldn't sleep in that place.
Yes. Yes. It was quite kind of active, yes.
Quite active, even though it's beautiful. It's quite active.
Yes.
I thought it was quite funny. I was not yet open to my abilities when that happened. I couldn't realize why I was just could not sleep at all.
Going back a few years ago, went to a hotel in Wales, and they'd actually got blood running down the walls in spirit in two of the bedrooms.
Jesus.
And it was run by a brewery. They got managers in, and the brewery actually paid me to clear the hotel because it was scaring off the residents and would-be guests. Yeah, which was successful. But so, hotels, they can be... Well, you think about it, especially if they're old, they've been there for perhaps hundreds of years, they can have a lot of different characters.
Well, a lot of people, you know, well, I'm sure you'll agree, Jesse, if you look at the history of hotels, whether it be in the UK or anywhere else in the world, is that a lot of people frequent hotels over the years. A lot of people, although you don't see it on record, actually have passed away in hotels, the elderly.
Yeah.
So if they've, you know, left a physical lives, and it's been a bit of a shock to the spirit of themselves, well, surely it would follow that they are going to stay around for a little while, if not some of them actually stay around a little bit longer than what they should because they've not really gone into the light. And then, of course, the bad ones who stayed in hotels, you know, your gangsters and people of ill intent, if they pass in hotels, you can be certain that those people, they're not what told them to light to appear for what's awaiting them. So they stay grounded.
Yeah.
You know? You've got such a mixture of them.
Yeah, that's so cool. So we don't have a lot of time left. We have 4 minutes left, so I want to give this all to you, Derek. I want this to be the Derek Acora show right now. It was always Derek Acora show, but now we're letting you have 4 minutes. But what's new for you? What are you going to be doing? Are you going to be writing any books? Like, are you going to finish up the tour? What's coming up for? What are fans looking forward to now?
Okay. Well, I've got, as I say, 6 shows to go to finish off for the summertime. But yes, I've been writing vigorously but slowly, and I'm finishing off my autobiography. And this autobiography, it's warts and all. It's saying that along the industry, along the time that I've been working in the spiritual movement, all the people I've met, some of them the good, the bad, the indifferent. Also, we talked about the devil earlier on. It's all going to be talked about in the book and explaining to the people across the world what actually happened on Most Haunted and why Most Haunted fell at the end of the, when it shouldn't have done. So basically, I hope a very interesting read. I've been a little bit slow with it because of the manic way I've having to do tours and go here, there and everywhere. I'm hoping for this television program to be aired as soon as it can be. I'm hoping also that the group of lovely people, American people, who are bringing me out to Boston, is that if all goes well, and that's what they wish, they've talked about little things that, you know, are making me feel tingly, is it?
Yep. They want to put you on the tour. They want to put you on the tour here.
They do.
Good.
And I want to do that. I want to do that by something special, yes.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I know you got excited there. I felt it.
Yes, absolutely. I've wanted the tour across the United States of America since 1998, and it's been a long time and what have you. When I do, and spirits have told me, even Sam, now the time is drawing close. You'll get your wish.
It's all time. It's all time, Derek.
Yes, it is.
So, Derek, I definitely, when you come here, let me know. I'll come down there. We'll hang out in Boston. That's the way they say it over there, Boston.
You better. I'm looking
I won't wear my Yankee hat because I'll get beat up because they hate the Yankees over there. Oh, they absolutely do, and we hate the Bostons when they come up here to play baseball, so I can't wear a Yankee hat, but I'll wear my blazer, and I'll look as a gentleman as I always do. I won't wear white like you because you love wearing white. I just can't get wearing white yet. It's just not happening.
I'm going to wear white on that evening, okay?
Oh, I bet you will. You have to. That's who you are. But, yeah, hopefully we'll talk. We'll hook up. Maybe we'll do something for you in New York over here. And this is the end of the show. Thank you so much for being on the show. Stay on till after the show. We're just going to go to a break. We're going to cut off. But thank you so much for coming on the show, and we want to thank everybody out there for joining us within the UK, throughout the United States, Canada, Australia, Japan, India, China, everywhere else that you're out there. Get to a phone, look us up, knowledgeofspirit.com. We go out every Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we only get the best people that we can get out there so that you can get a real taste of what spirituality really is. No watered-down version of the stuff that we got going out there. We got real quality stuff here so people can make a decision if spirituality is really for them, or spirituality is really what's out there. And like I always say, my awesome and lovely host, Alan Cox, he's the best guy out there. I mean, I can't really do this without you, Alan.
Is that right?
I can't. You can't have the left hand without the right hand. You can't have a handshake without the two hands.
I feel Jesse, the same, Jesse. I feel
Alan,
the same.
Alan's a good guy. He's a real good guy.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
is.
Derek.
Absolutely.
Derek, I've wanted to talk to you for a long time. It's been absolutely a great pleasure talking to you. It'd be nice if we could stay in touch. I'd like that.
We will. I'm sure we will from now on. Remember, guys, we're brothers, okay?
Yes, we are.
So here, let me put the break here. Hold on one second. Let me just close this. Have them close and okay. So we should be now off air. This will be off live.